What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Sheehan Show. Me, Sean Sheehan, here on Sherdog.com. And we are back with PFL because PFL is back for the first edition of their new season. And I'll be honest, I am very, very, very excited about this season. I was doing some podcast the other day, and it came up like about the PFL season. We were like, oh, is this fighter in? Is that fighter in? And we were like, do you know what? We'll just take a look at the rosters. And I clicked on the PFL website and I went down through each of the rosters and I literally read out like every fighter on the roster. And honestly, this is really good. This season is absolutely fantastic. And I could do that here right now, but also I want to do the weights by when they're fighting. So this week we have the heavyweights and the women's flyweights. So that's what we're going to concentrate on this week. But let me tell you, the strength in depth in this is absolutely fantastic. I know, like, there's certain fighters, maybe you're like, oh, why wasn't that person in the season? Why wasn't this person in the season? Maybe someone was, you know, was in it last year and they're not in it this year. That's going to happen now because of the strength of the roster. Like, the PFL merging with Bellator has really made that an issue, and that's a great issue to have. You know, it's like a good soccer team by the side of the world having five good subs, you know? It's like, well, there you go. That shows the strength, and it really is strong. And I think last year's season was good coming into it, but it was decimated by all the issues, you know, obviously the drug test failures, but the injuries and things as well. Last season was, if they could have restarted last season, I think they probably would have, and it was no fault of PFL's or anything like that, although the end was pretty good, and the finale turned out to be very, very good as well. But this year, you know, they could lose four or five fighters from it, and it will still be very, very good. And it's so exciting. And I honestly think, like, I think the biggest thing for PFL coming in here is to create a buzz. And if they can create a buzz for this season, especially, I think, like, this week with the heavyweights and Dacheva and Karamush, I spoke to Karamush the other day, you know, calling out Dacheva. We'll talk more about that in a second. But in the coming weeks as well, you know, the heavyweights, you know, with the, are a bit of a glamour division. Karamush being the champion in Bellator, but the future glamour divisions as well, and the big fighters having the big matchups they're going to be putting on, you know, now starts the promotion, I think, for a PFL / Bellator, because they have something really, really, really good to promote here. And I'm looking forward to seeing how that works. And I'm looking forward to seeing if, you know, people become part of it, people get into it and all, because I know for myself even, and a few other colleagues I speak to, like, once you get into the PFL, it's actually, like, really enjoyable and really good. Like, the UFC these days, it's kind of, you know, it's a trial sometimes watching it week in, week out. But the PFL, we've 3 weeks now in a row, then there's a break, then there's another 3 weeks, then there's a break again, and we have the finale, but we have the PFL Europe and stuff in the middle. But it's, you know, it's good. You really follow along with it. You follow along with the fighters. You follow along with the playoffs in the end. And I really like it. Like, I think a big part of it as well, like, I remember talking about MMA tournaments a long time ago, and saying, like, the tournament is only a tournament with the quality of fighters you have. And I think that the quality of fighter has improved all the way along for PFL, and now obviously with the acquisition of Bellator, it's at a whole different level. So let's get into this card and let's talk about these two divisions here. Right, let's just I'll do this every week if I remember, but I'll read out the rosters first of all, and then we'll talk about the matchup. So the men's heavyweight, first of all, we have Ante Delia. In it, actually, I'm reading from the PFL website here. It says Bruno Capelosa, but I actually just saw it literally about an hour ago. I think Bruno Capelosa is out, unfortunately. So, or he's out of his fight anyway. Maybe, I'm not sure if he's out of the whole tournament, but I'd say he probably is. Daniel James, Denis Golsov, Josh Heiderman, Linda Vassell, Marcelo Golm, Oleg Popov, Sergey Bilostein, whose name I pronounce very well, Steve Mowry, Tyrell Fortune, and Valdine Moldovsky as well there. And in the women's flyweight division, for a women's flyweight division, I think that isn't as strong maybe as the other divisions, as it's a newer kind of division. I think USC have a lot of the talent and have built up that division well. For all, with all those aside, this is a pretty good roster to have here. They have Chelsea Hackett, who's obviously very new to it, 4-1-1, and Jenna Bishop, who's 6-0, Denise Kielholz, Dakota Decheva, who's probably, you know, one of the best prospects on planet Earth in MMA now. They have Juliana Velasquez, the former champion in Bellator, Kanawana Tabe as well, who's 12-2-1, Caitlin Neal, Lisa Modlin, Liz Carmouche, the champion over in Bellator, Shayna Young, Sumiko Inabe, and Talia Santos as well, who we obviously saw in the UFC for a long time. So that's a really, really, really strong roster there. So let's talk about the fights. Let's get to some of the fights and go through them. It's actually, I believe it's Belay Ivanov. Indeed it is. That's in for Bruno Capoloza. Just checking that there. So, you know, a pretty good replacement, if we're being honest, for Capoloza, you know, who's another guy as well. I've a lot of time for Capoloza. I think he's a very, very good fighter, but he has had, if he didn't have bad luck, he'd have no luck, you know. So very, very unfortunate for him with that. But look, we move on with the season, and we see how it will work, I suppose, with the new crop coming in. Right. Let's talk about some of these fights, and let's get straight into it. The main event is going to be Ante Delia against Valentin Moldovsky, and I'm really excited about this, because like, this is your, I suppose, if you look at the two of these guys, they've been the most consistent heavyweights in each promotion over the last probably 5 or 6 years. With all due respect to everyone else, you know, whether it's your Ryan Baders or your Capolozas or your Hinnan Fejeas, whoever it might be, you know, obviously they would all be in there as well. But these two lads really, you know, really, really have been. Like, you look at Ante Delia, 24-5 for, you know, a guy at heavyweight. That's an absolutely phenomenal record. He's won his last 5 in a row. You know, he's beaten some really good guys along the way. You know, the only guy he's lost to since 2021 since 2000, how long back is it? 2015 is Bruno Capoloza. He lost to him twice, but like, he's beaten Maurice Green, Matthias Shevelin, and Fahea himself, Denis Golsov, and, you know, all the rest. Yeah, he fought Ricardo Pracel as well, who I believe is a former Chelsea goalkeeper, not him. But, you know, it's what a record he has over that period. It's been absolutely, you know, absolutely massive for him. Obviously, you know, was the champion and, you know, beat all comers, really. Moldovsky on the other side of it then, you know, he obviously was the champion for a good while over in Bellator, you know, beating the likes of Tim Johnson and Ryan Nelson and Linton Vassell and Javi Ayala before losing to Bader. And then, you know, I suppose that surprise loss to Linton Vassell. But then he came back and, you know, he beat Steve Mowry after they had a no contest before that. Mowry, obviously, we'll talk about him again in a while, but I'm a big admirer of Steve Mowry and how good of a fighter he is. And I suppose for Moldovsky to win that fight was a big thing to prove, like, he's not being overtaken and he's still right up there at the very, very top. So, you know, with Bader not being in the tournament, obviously Vassell is, you know, that puts Moldovsky up there as one of the favorites for me coming into this. I'm looking at some of the odds here. Not all the odds are up yet for some of these fights, and I believe that one isn't up yet, oddly enough. But we will look at some of the odds as we go. I look at that, some of the heavyweight odds, and it's a lot of them are very, very close. And I think you'd like, there's sometimes a bit of a surprise with that part of it, you know, that at heavyweight especially, and I've seen this before when we saw with MVP. I was making two separate points there, but I'm going to throw them in together. Actually, the price is up for this, and it proves my point. Ante Delia is around even money, and Moldovsky is the favorite at around -125. So it's very hard, and this will be the case throughout all of this PFL season, where it's very hard to decipher the level of fighters because they've been coming from different promotions. Like, how good was that guy who fought in PFL? How good is that guy who fought in Bellator? Maybe fought one really good guy and one guy is not that good, and the same on the other side. Sometimes MMA math works, but in this case, it's just going to be impossible. It's just going to be absolutely impossible. And the fact Moldovsky is the favorite there is very interesting, considering like he has had a few setbacks over the last couple of years, I suppose, and where Dalia hasn't. Now, let's talk about the matchup here, because it's funny, you look at Ante Dalia and you see that Croatian flag and you see that he's 11 knockouts, but he's been fighting a very kind of well-rounded game over the last few years. He's become more of a grappler and lands a lot of takedowns in his fights and is very good on top and, fighting out a Krokop top team, as it says here in Sherlock, under the tutelage of Mirko Krokop. He was a guy as well who, he grappled more the later he came. I remember Pat Barry went out to learn grappling off him and all. Like, sometimes you just have to realize, you need to become that later in your career, especially at heavyweight as well. I was watching Robles de Spain today. It took about 4 minutes to watch all, less actually. No, yeah, just about 4 minutes to watch all of his fights. And I was like, this, you need to learn that grappling at heavyweight too. It's not as important, but Dalia has, and he has become an offensive grappler more than anything else. Now, against Moldovsky, Krokop top game. And what's his team? Fedor team. So this is an interesting one. It's like an old school, protege versus protege here, which is, I suppose, fun for all the Sherdog people here who've been around for a very, very long time. I don't think he'll necessarily fear the wrestling or anything like that. I think Moldovsky, and he can wrestle a bit himself. It's funny, like, I feel like they've gone kind of opposite routes here, maybe the two of them, whereas, Moldovsky has become more, or is, always has been more of like a controlled fighter. Like, he doesn't have that many knockouts, one knockout, three submissions in his career, been to decision 10 times, 1/8 of them. So that's the type of fighter he is. He's a controlled striker who, look, if he needs to take you down, he can take you down and everything like that. But I think this will be a striker match. The funny thing is, we haven't seen Ante Dalia have like an... to my mind anyway, I've watched a lot of his fights obviously over the years and watched back a few of them here, but like, let me just look as we're here. I don't remember a similar matchup that was a striking matchup for like a long period, like I think this will be. Like the green one, no, not so much, very obviously very different. The two fights before that ended quickly. Shelton Graves fight, if memory serves me correct, there was a lot of ground game on that. And then you're talking about Sheffield Capoloza and things as well, and Golsov. I wonder what the level of striking from him will be against Moldovsky. And I would wonder how well he will do with that control. I think this one is going to a decision. I'd be looking at, the betting odds are out here, but I'd be looking at the, this is maybe a flyer of the week to go to a decision at the heavyweight division. I think this is going to go to a decision. I'm going to go Moldovsky. I'm going to lean Moldovsky. I just think it's funny. I was going to say the unknown of the strike. It isn't an unknown, but the unknown in the level, I suppose, is going to be a big issue here. And that's why I'm going for Moldovsky. In that one. Right. Dinis Golsov against Linton Vassell then. Again, that one's not going to take as much of a breakdown here because we are very much looking at, a guy who wasn't a wrestler, who's turned into a wrestler against a guy who's very much a wrestler. Golsov is the favorite. Our -142 best price for Linton Vassell, +120. So very close again, obviously. But Vassell, like, what a run Vassell has been on over the last while. Beat Moldovsky, beat Johnson, beat Fortune, Marks, and Haritanov. After going on a 3-5 win streak in 2017, 2018, 2019, he hasn't lost since 2019. So what a run that has been. Golsov on the other side of it then, he's had a few setbacks. He lost to Hinnan Fahey obviously in the championship fight here back in November. Pretty heavy knockout after winning the first round, but he won 4 or 5 in a row before that. We talked about the Ante Dalia loss obviously, but he'd beaten Josh Heiderman, Maurice Green, Jurgen De Castro and others as well. So it's an interesting one. Like, can Vassell take Golsov down? If he can't, I think Golsov will take Vassell down. I think Vassell needs to be offensively minded here with his takedowns, and with his wrestling. Indeed, if it turns into a defensive one, I think he's going to have trouble staying off of his back. Is he good enough off the back then? Is he good enough to kind of get up against someone like Golsov? I would have my doubts about that. So even though, like, but at the same time as well. At the same time, Golsov, in the last fight, he was ahead, he was winning, and it quickly turned around, which can happen at heavyweight. I don't know. Again, look, the betting lines are correct. It's a toss of a coin. I'm going to pick Golsov. I think that last fight will have been a warning to him. You know, what better warning than, you know, what better than to have a warning coming into a fight against, you know, probably the in-form heavyweight in both of the organizations, I suppose, over the last maybe, what, year and a half. So, apart from maybe Hinnan Fahea. So, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go for Golsov on that one. I'm going to do the heavyweights first, and then we'll go to the women's flyweights. Tyrell Fortune against Daniel James. This is a rematch of the no contest that they had back in 2022. If you watched that fight, it was kind of, you were sure one guy was going to win it one second, you were sure the other guy was going to win it at the other second, and then, you know, the no contest, it became a no contest in the end. I wonder, like, there hasn't been much to, I suppose, change their fortunes since Daniel James. Now, a lot of people thought a lot of him, but then he lost to Gokhan Sakiram. Didn't look great in that. Fortune had a very good win, I suppose, over Sergey Bilistin. A very good win. It was a disqualification with punches to the back of the head, but it was a big win, I suppose. Let's put it that way. So, you know, a bit of an in and out for kind of both of them. Let's see if we have a price on this one. We have -150 if Tyrell Fortune, Daniel James +140. I think that's just about right. I think, again, the wrestling of Fortune, Daniel James's wrestling was just a big issue in his last fight, and I think that will be the winning and losing of this fight. Even as then against Bilistin coming in on short notice, we'll... you know, that's a tough fight to look at, because Sergey with an 11-3 record is a guy who, you know, usually a lot of lads coming over from the Russian scene have a lot of fights and a lot of, I suppose, known names on their record. Now, he has a few of the likes, you know, he fought Mark Godbeer over in ACA and a few more. But, you know, losing that fight to Tyrell Fortune in his first fight over in Bellator, he has won a fight since with that beautiful spinning wheel kick, you remember that, which was I was actually at in Dublin. That was absolutely unbelievable, and I kind of marked him on my card after that. But Ivanov is not exactly a lad who gets knocked out very often. In fact, he's never been knocked out in MMA and only submitted once. You know, he's been in there with some very, very good guys, the likes of, you know, Romanov, Tybura, Lewis, Tuivasa, Rothwell Jr., Dos Santos, Sean Gordon, back even to Volkov years ago. So again, I think this could be a bit of a longer fight. We could be in for a few longer heavyweight fights this time. I'll go with Sergey. I believe he's a talented guy. You know, again, it was a disqualification when he lost to Tyrell Fortune. So we'll go with Sergey Bilostini in that one. Will he get another wheel kick? I don't know, but we'll see. You know, we'll see what he's made of over the five rounds as well. My guy Steve Mowry also fighting here against Oleg Popov, 10-1-1 for Mowry. Oleg Popov, 16-1. You know, tall Steve Mowry, as they call him. You know, it was tough, I suppose, against Moldavsky, the way that was a very back-and-forth fight as well, one round each coming into the third, if I'm not mistaken, and the tiredness. You know, Mowry just couldn't get up at the end of it. Drew with Aliyev before that. You know, he had the no contest against Moldavsky as well, as we all remember. And, you know, he's had a great run before that. But, you know, I believe Mowry, you know, training in Killcliffe as well is a great gym. If he keeps putting it together, he's only 31 years of age, which is a baby for a heavyweight. I think he can go a very, very long way. Coming against Popov, though, again, who's young, who's only 32 years of age, 16-1. And like, the one was back in 2016, and his third fight in his career. So, you know, he's won all of his, all of his big fights since then. He beat Gokhan Sakiram, who I mentioned earlier on, in in his Bellator debut. And, you know, he's a guy who can do it everywhere. He has power on the feet. He has submissions. He's good cardio and all. Again, the betting line on that is very close. Popov is the favorite, around minus 150, plus 124, a little bit less, even plus 110, I see here in one place for Steve Mowry. So, I'm going to go for the underdog in this. I believe if Mowry can keep the fight standing, which is always his issue, you know, Popov will strike with him as well, I'm sure, but I'm sure he'll want to get Mowry down if he can. If Mowry can keep it standing, and Lando's big shots, Lando's head kicks, you know, do you know what? I'm going to go back on what I was saying. No, I think he is going to get taken down. I'm going to pick Popov. I was going to pick Mowry, right? Because I like him. But maybe this is the show to pick Mowry, and maybe the betting show is the one to pick Popov. But I do like Steve Mowry. I really, really do. And I hope for him to come good. I'll say it again. And what I said was, I do believe, and I will reiterate it, if there was improvements made, he can definitely beat a fighter like that. There's no shred or doubt about that. And in the last heavyweight matchup is Marcelo Golm against Jordan Heiderman. Again, Jordan Heiderman, very young in his career, and he's 7-1, as we mentioned, lost to Denis Golsov last year, I believe. I don't think it was on Charnos, but it was in the playoffs. He beat Patrick Brady before that, which was kind of a good matchup. I don't think Patrick Brady had any kind of, you know, I don't think he should have been in that tournament. Obviously, there was a lot of people pulled out and everything like that. But at the same time, Josh Heiderman is a good up-and-comer. Again, only 32 years of age, 5 finishes out of his 7 wins. Golm on the other side of it again. We all know, you know, we've seen him down through the years. He's been in the UFC, lost most of his fights there, but has won a few in Bellator, lost to Jalen James last time up, but has beaten Devion Franklin, Billy Swanson, and others as well. Look, this one is a tough one to call. Let me look at the betting odds. I would venture for this one to be close. Although it's not, no. Marcelo Golm is a big favourite in this one. Up to minus 400. Heiderman plus 310. Maybe we'll be looking at a flyer on that one. Like, Golm is a talented guy, all right, but I don't know what I have him as that big of a price in a heavyweight fight. Like, Heiderman is not the biggest hitter in the world or anything like that. You know, and he's a few, as we said, a few submissions thrown in there and all. Can, you know, Golm can, a lot of this is like, can he stop the takedown? Can he keep it on the feet? I'll go for the underdog on that one. Right, and the other fight then is, just before we get to the women's flyweights, Lucas Brennan against Dimitri Ivey at featherweight. Obviously, Brennan is not in the tournament, and he's one of the very good up-and-comers. He beat Weber Almeida in his last fight, who's a very, very good fighter. I fought all these 9 fights in Bellator and looked very, very good doing it. Obviously, 8 finishes in there as well. Ivy, 34 years of age. He's making his debut in the PFL. I was going to say Bellator, but in the PFL. And, you know, he's been around. He's fought a lot of times in Fury and XFC and others as well. And, you know, he's some good guys on his record. He fought Ray Hernandez. He fought Alexander Hernandez, Daniel Pineda, you know, so some names there. You know, when you see guys with names that they're not dodging fights and they're fighting some good guys in there, so it'll be another good test. You'd obviously fancy Lucas Brennan to come through that when he's a minus 900 favorite. So I think that'll be a bit of a test for him, but it shouldn't be too bad. Okay, look, this women's flyweight division is, I think the thing about this women's flyweight division is we have 4 very interesting contenders, in my opinion. We have, obviously, Liz Carmouche. We have Juliana Velasquez. We have Dakota Dacheva. And we have Talia Santos. Now, that's no disrespect to anyone else. But, you know, would you be shocked if Wanatabe or Neil or Maudlin or Young or Inabe won it? You could even throw Keyholes, Hackett and Bishop into that as well, obviously. I think you probably would. Would you be shocked if any of the other 4 that I mentioned won it? I don't think you would be. I think, like, if Carmouche won it, she's the champion right now in Bellator. If she won it, you know, she's probably the favorite right now. If Velasquez, you know, turns it around maybe and can beat Carmouche, would you be massively, you know, shocked? I don't think so. If Dacheva went on to that next level, would you be shocked? No. If Talia Santos maybe took, you know, the improvement she's made down through the years over in the UFC over and won it, would you be shocked? Not too much. So that is very, very good, Because I'll tell you why. Dakota Dacheva in last year's PFL tournament, she was going to win it every single time. Kayla Harrison for about 10 years was going to win it every single time. Now, once she didn't, granted, but she that was the view coming into it. Larissa Pacheco last year, she was always going to win it, you know? And there was very little competitiveness in the women's seasons up until now, and now there is. And this is absolutely fantastic that we have a very, very open field here, a really open field. And I want to talk about Liz Carmouche versus Velasquez, first of all. Velasquez is a plus 205 underdog, Liz Carmouche minus 250. Obviously, they have fought twice before. The first fight, very controversial for me, an early stoppage, but the second fight, there was no controversy at all. Carmouche came in and she finished her, and she finished her well in that fight. And she's gone on at 40 years of age to fight twice more, beat both Deanna Bennett and Alimina Farland, who she absolutely beat down. Velasquez hasn't fought since. And she's 37 years as well. 37 years of age, as we might forget sometimes. And that last fight was in December 2022. So, you know, it's really time for her. Like, if Velasquez doesn't win this, it could be the end. Like, it really, really could be the end of her career. It's a huge fight, an absolutely huge fight for Velasquez. I talked to Liz Carmouche about it. She was, you know, maybe a little bit perplexed that she has to have this fight again. You know, you could argue that first fight was, you know, kind of a bit of a no contest, really. It should have been. And this is the rematch, the real rematch. But at the same time, that very unfair to Liz Carmouche. I really like Juliana Velasquez as a fighter. And it's funny, like, the first time they fought, she's 37 now, she's probably 34 then, you know. And that, there's a big difference between 34, 35 and 37. You know, there really, really, really is. And it's funny for me to say that when she's fighting Liz Carmouche, but Liz Carmouche is a bit of a different animal, I suppose, in that, you know, she's kind of been there, she's had a late renaissance in her career, whereas Velasquez, she's been building up to this point, you know, having fought, you know, since 2014 only. I just wonder what improvements have been made for Velasquez. I wonder, can she get her hands going? I wonder, can she outstrike Liz Carmouche and keep the fight off the ground this time? I think it'd be disrespectful to Liz Carmouche to not pick her here. I think she will get the fight to the ground, and I think she will win it. But, like, if you're Velasquez, I love fights like this, right, where there's the utmost jeopardy in this, as well as, like, winning your fight in the PFL season, as well as, like, wanting to go and get the million and go and get the belt and all of that. This there's a little bit more to this, especially for Velasquez. For Carmouche, maybe not so much if she loses here. You know, she's going in the tournament and try to qualify, but she could very much go back and defend her belt in Bellator and all of that. But I think it's massive for Velasquez. Last chance saloon here. But I'm picking Liz Carmouche to win that one. Right, I'm going to end it with Dacheva and Santos. So let me run through some of the other ones first. I think the Cannon Wanatabe Shannon Young fight is a very, very interesting one as well, with Wanatabe being such a favourite there. And she's probably, you know, if you were to pick a fifth person, she's probably the one to pick who could come along and pick up a win. Again, a little bit older, 35 years of age. You know, she has been in there with Liz. She's been in there with Alimina McFarlane and Denise Kehl. She's beaten Denise Kehl, obviously. And, you know, Lara Joanna is in the tournament now as well. She's beaten her. So, you know, she is right up there, I suppose. Shannon Young, again, been around for a long, long time. She fought in PFL last year. She was in the UFC, obviously, before that. And you know, fought in Invicta and, you know, been fighting since 2015. You know, I suppose she's maybe more of a finisher than a lot of people in it, even Wanatabe, you could say. But I just think Wanatabe may be a little bit of a better athlete, maybe a little bit quicker to everything. And I think that'll see her through, and I think the bookies probably have that one right. The other fight, Chelsea Hackett against Jenna Bishop, maybe a little bit more of the unknown there, although Jenna Bishop, I'd assume, as I just look at it here, will be a big favourite. She's not that big of a favourite, minus 250 plus 205 for Chelsea Hackett. You know, Bishop, again, 38 years of age, coming very, very late to it. When she beat Ilira Joanna last time out via armbar in the first round, I thought she looked very, very good. Let me look up her fight before that. I had the pleasure of being at it as well. The Bellator 291, indeed it was. And then Hackett, you know, coming over from Australia, making her debut last year against Kai Binnen after being on the Contender Series. It's a big fight for her, but I'd favor her opponent in that one. And you know, I think there's opportunities, you know, if there really is opportunities for someone to make a breakthrough, especially if they have kind of a better maybe a better matchup than the others. Santos against Ilira Joanna might be a little bit of that. Like, I like Ilira Joanna, and you know, I'm a big Game of Thrones fan, as you can see. Look at my Game of Thrones things here. And, you know, her with the Arya Stark gimmick. But she hasn't been great over the last one, as we mentioned. She lost to Jenna Bishop and Bruna Ellen as well. She did beat Keel Olsen and Alejandra Lara before that. Lost to one of Tabby, as I mentioned earlier, in Porto as well. So she's lost four of her last six. Not amazing. You know, Talia Santos, obviously, we've seen what she's done, you know, going in there with Valentina Shevchenko and getting a split decision. Okay, she lost to Erin Blanchfield last time out, but there's no shame in that, as we all know. You would think that this will be Talia Santos' fight to lose. She's going to be a big favourite coming into this one. And, you know, I think she'll be looking to make a statement here. You know, Ilira Joanna has been finished four times in her career. Talia Santos, you know, not the biggest... Well, she's a good finishing rate, I suppose. 13 of her 19, gone to 9 decisions in her career. I think she'll be looking for the finish here to really, you know, take her, I suppose, take to that next level. And then we have the Decheva fight, which I said I wanted to end on. And more Decheva than her opponent, Lisa Modlin, or the fight itself even. Like, Decheva, look at the price. -1600, +900 for her opponent, Modlin. You know, I watched a little bit of Lisa last year. Obviously, she was in the PFL tournament, and I spoke about her a little bit last year and watched her be coming in again. You know, she's won fights. She, you know, she's been in there with some good people like Caitlin Neal. She's been in there with Sam Hughes. Again, the athleticism doesn't have massive power, whereas you look at Decheva, she has power. She moves well. Very athletic, very nimble, good on the ground, good standing up everywhere. Like, she's fought some good people as well. Even if you look at her amateur career, she fought Shauna Bannon. If you haven't seen that fight, Shauna Bannon, obviously in the UFC now, it's a really, really good competitive fight. And it's up on YouTube and all, but she fought Kerry Isom. In her last fight, she fought Scatese. Obviously, she was in the PFL tournament last year. Cornelia Holm, who's, you know, been around a good while as well. So she is a top-notch fighter, and it'll just be... I wonder what they'll do. I wonder what they'll do with Decheva. Like, will they give her a Santos or a Carmouche in the next round? Or will they, you know, give her maybe one of the easier fights in the bracket to kind of get her there? And then maybe we have, as Liz Carmouche was kind of saying, maybe we have the Carmouche Decheva final, which I think a lot of people would absolutely love. But Dakota Decheva could emerge from this as one of the stars of the season, and that would be absolutely massive if she did. And it'll be very interesting to see. But yeah, that's it. That's the whole card. I'm really looking forward to it. April 4th. As I say, you know where to watch it around the world. It's going to be very, very, very fun. This year, I'm going to have previews for every one of the PFL cards. And new, I'm going to have reviews for the cards as well. So a day or two after every card, I'm going to be on here with another video as well. So extra content coming out with PFL from me this year. All right, everyone, thank you very much for tuning in. I appreciate it. My name is Sean Sheehan for SureDog.com, and I'll see you all next time.